Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
Hi, hi, hi there, everyone. This is Mediocrity Podcast, where the show is just okay. We're a little less than okay. We might be a little better than okay, but we're just okay. Mediocrity Podcast, look us up on that amazing iTunes and Stitcher Radio under like Multimedia Men, or look it up under Mediocrity, or look it under Boomstick Comics. Just, or you can look it up any of our names. It'll pop up and you will hear us and wish you were with us, because we wish we were with you. And I am Brian Kluger, joined by the fantastical, mythological beasts known as Jonathan Atterbury and Jeremy Miggert. How are you lovely, handsome, bearded dudes doing today?
Oh, hello! Brian challenged me to do a British accent for the whole show, but really, I've only got a few words that I can do, so it'd fall to pieces in a few moments, so I'm not even going to try.
So, I guess hello is one of them.
Yeah, it's just hello and, you know, like, would you like a spot of tea?
The stereotypical British person.
Yeah, it's just really stereotypical and me making fun of my ancestry.
I'm kind of surprised any British accent John has doesn't sound like Paul McCartney or one of the Beatles.
Can you do those accents?
Well, not very well. It doesn't come out at all.
Don't know, George, what do you think about that?
That's all I've got.
I don't know if that was a Beatle. Oh, that sounds like
I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure if that was supposed to be a particular Beatle.
I think at first it was Paul McCartney, and then it morphed into John, really bad John Lennon. That's what happened there.
Oh, that's funny. One day we'll do it. So besides British, is there any ones you try to do? Like, is there an Australian one or a Japanese one or that you can do?
I'm not taking that bait.
Why not?
Pass.
Hard no. Okay. Jeremy, how are you living in the comic book world these days?
Oh, I'm good, man. Just drawing away.
Very cool. Any like up-to-date news on any projects you're working on that you can give us?
Unofficially, I am working on something for a publisher, and I finished page 10 today, a little bit ago, which I actually got a little more work to do on it, but I basically have 10 more pages and then it's done, and then hopefully I'll have an announcement soon about when it's coming out.
Very cool, man.
I really like the topic of this one, too. He said it's a all-erotic space drama.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a really cool premise.
Is it like
space boners?
Is it like space beards, but like with titties and dicks?
Yes, that's it exactly.
Brian, you really have a way with words.
How articulate. Oh, my God. How did you know?
But you know, with titties and dicks.
Hey,
you're a poet, my friend.
Thank you. Well, we're excited. Hopefully, you update us every week to see for the latest good stuff. But we got a good show for you today, guys and girls, and dogs and cats living together. Very excited because we're gonna talk about a lot of cool news. We're gonna talk about a Star Wars theory, which I'm very, very excited to talk to you. Because, yeah, there's a new one. Well, not know if it's a theory.
I was unaware we were discussing a Star Wars theory.
No, well, it's a surprise for you guys. Also,
it always is.
And I don't know if it's so much a theory as opposed to like what were they thinking, but maybe the Star Wars experts on the show can dive in. And
okay, so wait, so this isn't your theory then?
No, this is not my theory.
Okay.
Okay.
y'all are a little less excited now. We also going to have a few cool topics dealing with video games and movie scenarios, which we'll get to later. But first, we have to bring up a very unfortunate piece of news regarding one of the most brilliant people on planet Earth, Stephen Hawking. He had passed away actually earlier this morning, which he died on March 14th, which is 314, which is Pi Day, which just speaks all sorts of volumes to this guy. He was an English physicist and just had one of like the best-selling books ever made, A Brief History of Time, which was on the bestseller list for 237 weeks, which is, if you think about it, that's a long time to be on a bestseller list. But yeah, he died. He had this unfortunate disease, motor neuron disease, that kind of crippled him later in his life and paralyzed him. But do you guys look up to Stephen Hawking? Do you think he's like influenced your lives in any sort of way?
Would I go as far as say he's influenced my life? Probably not. But I do think that, of course, I admire him. He's one of the greatest thinkers of our time. And I you know, I'm not particularly big into physics and that type, that field. But I think it's fascinating, certainly. And I think that it's awesome that he was able to do what he did, especially with everything that he had working against him. I mean, the dude was given like a 2-year life expectancy when they found that disease. So the fact that he lived all the way to 76, right?
Yeah, 76.
And he was diagnosed around 21 or something like that. So that's pretty incredible.
It is. I mean, it just, if you've ever loved sci-fi films, like Stephen Hawking is like the godfather of almost, in a way, sci-fi, because he like always talked about, you know, black holes and time travel and, you know, utopian societies and AI and all sorts of stuff, and his stuff on general relativity and, you know, all these cool things that I know movie directors and movies have like gone after in their own films. Just sucks, you know, like, he lived a crazy life, lived a cool life, and again, brilliant man. Jeremy, do you like Stephen Hawking? Did you like Stephen Hawking?
You know, I mean, I'm probably on the same side with John there, even not really like a direct influence, but, you know, I think it's cool whenever you have somebody who is famous for being basically intelligent. And
yes.
And in a world full of, you know,
idiot celebrities
and reality TV and, you know, people doing dumb shit on the internet for views and likes, you know, to me, somebody being famous for actually being intelligent, you know, or, you know, whether it's intelligence or having a skill of some kind that's legitimate, to me, that's refreshing.
Yeah. And someone that's passionate enough about a topic that they spend their whole life working on it.
Yeah,
you know, that's always incredible.
Yeah, and you said it perfectly, Jeremy. That's just, you want more people like Stephen Hawking, you know, in this world that really does stuff for the betterment of everyone and creates us or makes us or inspires us to think more outside the box. So, but yeah, he will be missed. And it's very interesting, like in the whole way the world works sort of thing. Like he did die on like a very mathematical ish day, you know, like that's just kind of cool. But yeah, moving on, we'll miss you, Stephen Hawking. Let's go into a bit of more unfortunate news, as well. We have to talk about this just because I think this place was a big part of most of our lives growing up. I'm, of course, talking about the company Toys R Us, which was founded actually in 1948 and was a furniture store, a children's furniture store, which in the late 60s became like the toy store you know today with, you know, Jeffrey the Giraffe and everything. Well, as time went on, internet went on, Amazon, everything else, toy sales started to decline across, you know, the 800 or so stores, 900 or so stores across the globe. And now, I guess, a few years ago, Toys R Us went bankrupt. But now, as of a couple days ago, they will be closing pretty much all of their stores. And they have issued a statement saying, if you have a gift card, use it immediately because it will not be usable very, very soon. So in this aspect, do you guys, did you guys really love Toys R Us growing up? Because I remember there's a certain age when I stopped going just because I guess the internet, I was a part of that. But there's always something about going to a store geared towards kids where like the shelves were as high as a skyscraper, basically. It's like just toys everywhere of everything you'd ever want. Do you guys feel the same way?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
When I heard the news that that store, that chain was closing down, like it actually hurt a little bit. I was like, oh, my, right in the childhood. Because there's just, you know, it's one thing as a kid to go to Target and, you know, get your toys there. But, you know, when you go to Target, usually you're there for stuff for your parents mostly. And you might be able to get a toy or something. But as Toys R Us, like that was the place for the kids. Like the adults weren't going in there for the parents weren't going in there for them. You were going to Toys R Us for you. And that was what was so exciting about it. It's like this just kind of overwhelming sense of possibility when you walked in those doors.
Yeah, they had – it was just like when you walk in, you're just like, wow, this is literally every toy imaginable, from Legos to action figures to like arts and crafts to video games. I do remember – the first ever Game Boy that came out back in like back long ago, I got at Toys R Us. But
yeah, and I remember to this day pulling out those slips of paper because you couldn't buy the actual video games off the shelf.
Yes.
You had to get the slips of paper and they'd get them out from the counter behind the glass and everything. But it was so exciting, even just pulling that slip of paper out, you're like, oh yeah, this is happening. And I, you know, going there for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles toys or Star Wars toys, whatever. It was just such a cool experience. And I'm sad that, you know, like, because KB Toys, didn't they close down also years ago?
KB's been closed for a long time.
Yeah. And so, like, those were the two stores that I did all of my toys shopping at. And those are going to be things of the past. So it's a little sad. Yeah.
And, you know, for me, it was interesting because, you know, I mean, we got toys and stuff there. But, I mean, even from what I remember as a kid, you know, I mean, that's where we bought all of our bikes. You know, we bought our bikes at Toys R Us. And so it's like you bought bikes at Toys R Us, you know, like the first like Sega consoles and shit like that. It's like we bought those at Toys R Us.
Yeah, man.
And, you know, and it sounds funny, but I mean, even I think last year, year before, like I bought Josie, you know, birthday presents at Toys R Us where I bought her like a Master Chief. The constructs or something where you fucking put the whole like Master Chief figure together, like kind of like Legos. I bought that for her there. So
I still enjoy going to Toys R Us. Yeah. Man. If I go on, I'll like go to the Star Wars section and it's like, yes, this is fun. You know,
and it, culturally they had a big influence too, because for like with the McFarlane toys, like when Todd McFarlane made the first Spawn toys, he wanted to make toys that were a higher quality action figure than everything else that was out there that wasn't just your normal, like, you know, 3 3/4 inch, you know, not very movable action figure. He wanted to make higher detailed things that were taller, bigger, a little bit nicer, and sell them for a little bit more money. And Toys R Us was his first buyer. You know, Toys R Us was the first one to give Todd McFarlane an order. And I think they were, I don't know for sure if they were the first, but if they weren't the first, they were one of the first to do exclusives to where, you know, if you had X number of Star Wars action figures, you could go to Toys R Us and get this one specific one that you could only get there. And I think they were one of the first companies that were doing exclusive toys as well, too.
Yeah, they were ahead of the game in a lot of ways, and they did a lot of good things. Probably some of the business was back in the early 2000s, they bought out FAO Schwartz, which didn't go well. And then they tried to get into Toys R Us Express stuff where they opened up really small like kiosk stores, didn't work. And then they tried to do online, which at one point they entered a contract with Amazon where they were going to be the only retailer Amazon had for toys. But of course, Amazon didn't honor that because they allowed all the third-party sellers to sell toys. So I don't know. They said, I guess Amazon said that Toys R Us didn't offer a huge selection of all the different toys on their site. So unfortunately, I think Toys R Us really gave it a go, tried to give it all they got in, you know, as the technology changed. But, you know, when you think of a Toys R Us, you don't think of like something as small as like KB Toys or like something, you know, a store that's like 2,000 square feet. No, these Toys R Us are as big as Super Targets, and that,
it's Walmart sized.
Yeah, and that's a lot of real estate, and large real estate like that is a lot of money. So that's a lot of toys to sell, and just, you know, when you have places like Amazon and, you know, tons of other places that might be cheaper, people are going to go that route, and sooner or later.
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things. I think it's similar to why video stores are on the way out, where people just kind of don't want to go out of their house anymore. It's like, why would I leave the house if I can just rent it online or if I can just order it on Amazon? But, you know, it's what's being lost is the experience. It's like when you'd go into a Blockbuster and you'd be able to just cruise the video store with your family. That was so much fun. Or when you just cruise through Toys R Us looking for whatever you wanted for your birthday gift or whatever. And that's what's going to be missing is, and I'm kind of sad that I won't be able to take my future kids into Toys R Us and just do that with them, you know, spend an hour just looking around the store.
Yeah, well, you might be able to, because they might just open Amazon facilities where you can do that.
That'll be like Target. It won't be a toy store.
That's true.
You know what I mean? It won't be just the toy store, which is a magical thing as a kid.
True. The closest you'll probably be able to get to that is going to a Lego store.
Yeah. Or Disneyland, stuff like that.
True. So Babies R Us is part of Toys R Us, but Babies R Us is deals with babies. But Babies R Us does not look like it is closing.
Can you explain the difference between Toys R Us and Babies R Us to one more time?
Yes. Babies R Us are for babies. Toys are for older kids.
Okay, Babies cool. R Us is where you buy babies.
Yes, that's true. But
Babies R Us is for babies.
Doesn't look to be closing. But
that will be my favorite moment of the show, under the radar, but still great.
We will miss Toys R Us, and hopefully at some point, hopefully, or what I've read is that they're not going to drag this out at all. So I'd imagine within the next couple of weeks, stores will be closed down. There will be no more Toys R Us. Hopefully sometime along the line, there will be another cool toy store, but it doesn't look like that for the near future. So
I don't see
like
it happening.
We need to go shopping.
Seriously.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do with all their inventory, because I haven't been to a Toys R Us, but it's probably next time you're out, you're by a Toys R Us, go in and see if anything's like 75% off, because you might.
Let's just start Mission Save Toys R Us, and all of us just go spend all of our money at Toys R Us stores. Like, please don't close. We need you.
I will be more on mission of go get Star Wars Black action figures for really fucking cheap. That will be my mission.
Ah, there you go. There you go. All right. Well, we'll miss Toys R Us as well. But let's get on to some interesting news. So I'm curious to see if you guys are down for this. As we know, Avengers Infinity War is coming out very, 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 very soon. Of course, it's coming out April 27th, which is just a few weeks away. So what is AMC Theaters doing? They're going to hold a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie marathon, which will be all of the movies since Iron Man, being a 31-hour movie marathon with no breaks, one after the other. This will take place on April 26th, which will lead into April 27th, just in time for Avengers Infinity War. So guys, do you guys want to see all 18 films in a row for 31 hours of the Marvel Universe?
That theater is going to smell fucking terrible.
Yeah, man, you couldn't pay me to do that. It'd have to be a large sum to get me to actually want to do that.
Yeah, no
that
way.
Sounds pretty awful.
It is.
Even like the Lord of the Rings things where they play all three Lord of the Rings movies in a row, that's way too much for me.
And that's like only like 12 hours. This is 31 hours.
That's insane. I mean, what are you going to do? Just sleep in your chair for three quarters of the movie?
I'm sure people will fall asleep, but like, yeah, I think, I mean, you're going through all of these. I mean, that's That's three Captain America movies. That is three Thor movies, three Iron Man movies, two Avengers movies. Oh, good God.
Guardians of the Galaxy, two, both Guardians one and two. Galaxies,
three Thor movies. It's a lot. It's 18 films, 31 hours.
That's so, too, that's, that is 17 films too much to see in a movie theater.
Now, you know, you say that. I have actually seen five movies in the theater in one day. And yes, at the very end, it was like, oh, that was trouble staying, like, my eyes hurt, you know?
Dude, yeah.
And they all weren't that great of movies either, not like something as spectacular as any of the Marvel films. But it's like a test of endurance, I think, more than actually having fun, because it's going to be across AMCs, certain AMCs across the country, but I'm just curious on who's going to do this. And like, Jeremy, could you do this, or would you want to do this and like maybe go see a couple movies and then skip one and then go back and see a couple, then skip a couple? Would you do that?
Probably not. I mean, it's just too much. And I mean, the problem is, I mean, like, I have all these movies at home anyway.
Eddie watches them like twice a week.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, the Marvel movies are like the background for my drawing, because I've seen them anyway, so like I can just listen to it and like half watch, you know, out the corner of my eye. So I'm like, not really. I mean, honestly, the only thing I would go sit in a movie for consecutive movies at this point, was that there was a re-release of the original Star Wars trilogy. I would go to the theater and sit for all three of those movies.
What the about unaltered ones or the altered ones?
I would watch either way.
So would you watch all six movies? Actually, let's say they did episodes 1 through Last Jedi. Would you do that?
Probably not.
Okay. All right. I'm curious. Yeah, 30. So that begs a question.
I mean, I would be tempted. If John lived here, most likely, yes.
Okay, so let's say, I mean, you got to think about this. You're going to see all these movies, these 18 films, or 17 films. I guess the 18th one might be, no, 18th film was Black Panther. So the 19th film will be Avengers. So you're watching these 18 films, and then you really want to see the new Avengers movie. I mean, are people going to really be excited, or are they going to be dead when they see Avengers Infinity War? Like, maybe they'll get a burst of energy. I don't know.
I imagine they'll be both, all three, spiritually, mentally, and physically exhausted by the time that movie comes on. They just won't care anymore. It's just stuff. I don't care. Just get me home. I just want to be home.
Yeah, it's you know what? It's like almost worth going and like commentating about it. Like, just like how, yeah. And Jeremy had like a perfect point. The smell in that theater is going to be rank, sir.
It will be ripe in there, man. Especially if you consider the kind of people that are going to be doing this.
Ooh.
The unwashed masses.
And you know what? You know, AMC's doing it. I'm just so glad they're not doing it like, you know, Alamo or something like that, where all the food will be there and just not going to be a good deal.
Well, that's even worse if you're doing it at AMC, because you're eating nothing but junk food for 30 hours or whatever. Can you imagine like nacho cheese farts from the guy that's been eating not like just nachos for four meals?
I'm so out. I mean,
It's not like, what was it, the Shia LaBeouf movie marathon, where it was all of the Shia LaBeouf movies, but you watched them in the theater with him?
He doesn't have 31 hours worth of movies, I don't think.
And he filmed his own face the whole way through it?
Yep.
You know, yep. It's not like...
That happened? I didn't hear about that.
That happened. Absolutely happened. That's could actually really watch weird. It.
Yes, it's pretty fucking funny. So yeah, it's not like you're in there with, you know, watching with fucking Chris Evans or whatever. It'd be a hellish nightmare.
But for those of you interested, I'm very curious. If you are interested, please get in touch with us somehow and let us know if you're going to do this, because that's insane.
How are they supposed to get in touch with you? You're not on social media.
People can text me or whatever. I don't care.
just text me.
Yeah, if you have my number, text me.
And Brian Kluger's phone number is.
I'm just, and I don't know. I I'm genuinely curious, actually. Actually, hold on. I'm going to their webpage right now of AMC because I want to see. No, thanks. I want to see how much
$200 this... per person.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was going to check to see how much this was cost, because that's 18, 19 movies. That's a lot of money. So I wonder how they're going to do that. And so, yeah, you can't. It just says remind me. So they haven't even put them up yet.
Remind me to take out a loan for this movie ticket.
I wonder if it comes with, like, food and stuff like that, too. I mean, I would imagine it does, you know?
Little blankies. Little thin airplane blankies.
I guarantee you it doesn't, unless there's, like, a very serious upcharge.
Some fucking fresh wipes.
Some peanuts.
Good God, that theater is going to be gross to clean up. Ugh, just thinking about it. Crikey.
Burn it. Just burn it down.
Burn it down! All right. Okay. Moving on. So, a big movie, well, not really a big movie, but a semi-decent movie that might take off Black Panther this weekend is coming out. The reboot of Tomb Raider is coming out. I did not get a chance to see it. However, my writer did. And pretty much, I think most people were not looking forward to this film. And my writer said, and what I've read from a lot of other people and heard from a lot of other critics saying that, my writer said, her name is Rebecca Steinberg, the installment in the Tomb Raider canon feels a lot like the Andrew Garfield film Spider-Man reboot. It's better than the original, but completely unnecessary. It would be good to watch on a weekend with some popcorn, but if you want to see it done right, just play the game. And I guess this is the consensus from most people who have seen it, that it just kind of unnecessary and lazy, although there are some kind of cool Mission Impossible type of scenarios and action pieces. So, I don't know. Are you guys excited about this? Yes or no?
Couldn't care less.
Jeremy?
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm indifferent.
Yeah, so
I will not be seeing this in the movie theater. It just, I mean, as much as I think that actress, I forget her, Alicia Vikander or something correct. Like that, I think she's really cool, and I like that. I admire that she got in such great physical shape for the role, but it just, it looks lame. I don't know how else to say it. It looks lame.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I completely agree. My writer, Rebecca, also said that this character, it's like the usual, or even more so here, that when she gets hurt and she feels it with her emotions and her face. However, once she's all stitched up, it's like the wounds never happened. You know, she's impaled, literally impaled by like a pole in the abdomen, and then like, you know, a couple hours later after she stitched up, she's sprinting through the island, no hurting whatsoever, which is probably true in a lot of movies, but she's like, here's like, doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's just silly. I think it just doesn't work to have something that's not really that realistic nowadays.
Yeah.
It just may not translate well. I mean, because like, you never question it when you play the video game, because the video game is awesome. You know, but I feel like what may work in a video game just may all of a sudden seem not believable when you're watching it on a movie screen.
Exactly. It's, you know, it's like something that works in a book doesn't necessarily work on a film. Same thing with video games to film. It's just, it's got to be treated a certain way to make it work.
There you go. There you go. So Tomb Raider's coming out this weekend. If you see it, let us know somehow. If not, we will
text Brian Kluger.
Yes, text me. all right, moving on to some 4K news that have come out. I got the Justice League 4K Ultra High Definition discs.
Do you want to read all the features on the box?
No, but I will say that it's unfortunate because all of the bonus features and supplements.
I'd love to hear them.
The bonus features and supplements are way better than the movie itself. Man, that movie was so bad. It just, ugh.
I still haven't seen it.
DC still can't get it right. And I will say that there's a couple moments in the movie where you just, like, want it to work. And even they put in Batman's, Tim Burton Batman 1989 theme in there, as well as John Williams' Superman score. It's just, oh, man, it was just so bad. But the extras are definitely quite a quite a good time, much more so than the film. And I guess they bill this 4K as having never before seen scenes from the movie in the theater, but which is only that scene from the trailer where you see Alfred looking up and like, I thought you weren't coming. That's the only scene which they left out of the theater movie, but they
never before seen except for when you saw it in the trailer.
Correct. It's just really weird. Other than that, Jeremy, did you sort of like the movie, right?
I didn't as much like the movie. The thing that I appreciated about the movie was, you know, previously kind of Zack Snyder's vision sort of for these characters was super dark, and it didn't really fit. And the thing that didn't work is like these, you know, characters like Superman and Wonder Woman and Flash, like they're not really meant to be like dark and brooding and gritty. It doesn't work. Batman does. But even with BVS, you know, he had Batman killing people all throughout that movie, you know, just nonstop. And so to me, when they switched gears kind of like halfway through or whatever with Joss Whedon taking over, to me it showed that they were trying to switch gears and make the movies reflect more of what the comics are supposed to be. But I just feel like doing it midway through a movie in the manner that they did was just strange. But I appreciated it for them trying to switch back over. And then for the things like, you know, letting Tim Burton put his theme in there. The couple times, I think, when the Superman John Williams theme got used. So I appreciated those moments and liked it kind of for them kind of trying to switch tones.
Yeah. Atterbury, I'm sure you'll watch it when it comes on Netflix or something, but I'm sure you won't like it.
Yeah, I will watch it when it's available to stream for free.
Yeah, that's the way. I mean, it's unfortunate because it's like a big, big action movie with all sorts of things. But yeah, they're just DC just still can't get their shit together, and it's very unfortunate. You know,
I saw it at the screening, and it was funny because I watching it in a room full of people that were there to review movies. There were several times when the audience like applauded out loud and even stood up during the movie and clapped.
What? Really?
Yeah. Really?
I couldn't do it. Couldn't.
That
do
was
it.
Just when it was over, though.
No, it was like mid movie.
Yes, it's over.
But for you comic book fans, one of the cool extras features just comic book creators, artists, and writers talking about all of the characters and their origins from the comics from their the start all the way to present, which is a really cool extra if you're into comic books.
I would like to watch that, but not buy the movie.
There you go. So maybe like if it's on YouTube or something like that, the extra is called Road to Justice. So if you type that in, for those of you who don't want to buy the movie, just watch that extra. Check it out. It's called Road to Justice. It's kind of cool. Other than that, yeah, I guess if you know you're going to buy this, if you already know that this is going to be part of your collection because you want all the comic book movies. But otherwise, eh. More 4K news. Finally, they are putting The Matrix, the first Matrix movie, on 4K UHD with a brand new HDR10 and Dolby Vision image, which is supervised by Bill Pope, the awesome cinematographer himself, and will feature a Dolby Atmos track, which I'm super excited to see this movie in ultra 4K. There will be no new extras, but still, to have this movie in the new format, it's going to be awesome, especially with the sound. You guys excited for this?
No.
No.
Really?
I don't have a 4K TV.
Yeah, me either.
I don't own anything in 4K. I don't have anything to use
it. Excited for you.
Well, I'm excited because this movie.
I love The Matrix.
Yeah.
I'm excited about The Matrix.
Well, I'm curious. I'm real excited because this, you know, this is kind of a milestone in filmmaking type of thing. And it's just going to be cool to see how 4K really enhances or does not all the cool special effects and the clothing and the facial pores and everything, as well as enhance the colors. And, of course, those crazy fight scenes with the sound and the bullets flying overhead. I'm very curious to see how that works on the sound system. But, yes, that will come out May 22nd, so get ready. I'm trying to think of what else come out. Have y'all seen The Disaster Artist with James Franco?
Nope.
Based on the movie The Room? Have y'all ever seen The Room?
Nope.
Okay. Nope.
Nor will I. And I don't have any interest in seeing The Disaster Artist either.
Wow. You don't like James Franco?
Not that much. Okay. He's all right. He can be funny. I mean, I liked him in Pineapple Express. I liked him in that 42 Hours movie or whatever that was.
Well, do you not know anything about, like, The Room?
I've heard talk about it, and it seems like it's being just celebrated as being a, you know, terrible movie.
Well, I think the making of it was what people drawn to it. Because if you haven't seen The Room, it's basically about a love triangle and stuff like that. But the guy who made it is like this crazy guy named Tommy Wiseau. And nobody still knows anything about him, like, personally. But he made this horrible movie for like $6 million. And nobody knows where he got it the money from. Like, they think it's like mafia ties, or they think he just has some crazy endless bank account that nobody knows about. But how it got made and what he did and his weird things is what really made this crazy, supposedly serious movie just so terrible. And if you've seen it, you just laugh your ass off. But James Franco and Seth Rogen, all these comedians, love the film, and they did like a making of The Disaster Artist. And it's actually really good. It was nominated for Best Picture and Best Actor and all sorts of stuff. And it's really good, but it's on Blu-ray and highly recommended because the real Tommy Wiseau is in all the extras and is literally insane.
Apparently, he wants to play the Joker, and he made his own little Joker audition tape and put it on the interwebs.
Jeremy is 100 billion% correct, and if you watch that little clip and you're like, wow, this guy? And when you see The Room or Disaster Artist, you're just like, wow, I don't get it. How did this happen? But yeah, it's like really eerie and strange and funny all at the same time. But you should definitely give it a shot, John. At least The Room and The Disaster Artist. I think you would actually like it.
I definitely will not watch The Room. I might watch The Disaster Artist, like, if that came out on like streaming for free. That's my level of interest. If it just pops up on my Netflix feed, then I'll be like, okay, I'll give it a try.
You're so crazy.
I don't know. I mean, I'm excited that The Shape of Water came out on Blu-ray today or yesterday.
Yes, yes, that's good.
I'll definitely be paying to watch.
Yes, they will have that, but I would imagine within the next year or so, Criterion is going to get a hold of that and release that. So might wait for then. But yeah, that's Best Picture. They put that out immediately to get all that good stuff. And lastly, for Blu-ray 4K stuff, do any of y'all watch Fear the Walking Dead?
Nope.
No. I don't even watch the regular Walking Dead.
Okay. Well, quickly, Fear the Walking Dead Season 3 is out on Blu-ray. And it's a spinoff of Walking Dead, of course, and it takes place basically right as a zombie outbreak happened. Because in Walking Dead, the first episode's like the zombie outbreaks happened for a while. This is like as it's happening for the first time. So it's a really...
Have you watched much of this show, Brian?
Oh, I've watched every season. I've reviewed every season.
And what do you think of it?
I actually really like it. And I think they do a lot of really cool things that Walking Dead doesn't do. Cool. Such as, I think Fear the Walking Dead has these great story arcs in each episode where they follow all of the characters, whereas Walking Dead in past seasons have only focused one episode for like one character at a time, where you don't get to see everybody for maybe three episodes. So I like that aspect, and I like the aspect where it's not just constant. It's more about like, wow, this is all happening right now. What do we do? And it's like, it's insane. So I like that aspect of it. But Fear the Walking Dead Season 3 is actually really good. The extras are terrible, but if you're a fan of the show, you're going to like that. So I do recommend it if you like the whole world that Walking Dead is set in. There's a little bit of differentness. But yes. So moving on, before we get to our two big topics, I have a Star Wars thing to talk to you guys about.
Bring it.
Okay. So I guess a couple of websites have covered this thing just very recently. So being the Star Wars guys, you guys are, I've got to bring it up. So you guys have seen Return of the Jedi, how many times now?
Mike, once or twice.
Once or twice. Jeremy?
Enough times that it does not need a number put on it.
Okay. So I guess the question really that everybody's asking, in which some of the actual Star Wars authors that have written the books, like the novels, such as Chuck Wendig, who did the Aftermath trilogy, he's come out and talked about this question. But have you ever stopped to consider how the plan to rescue Han Solo in Return of the Jedi at the beginning of the movie actually worked? So I guess basically the whole thing is like, can anybody explain how the plan to rescue Han Solo was supposed to work? Like how was that executed? How did it go down? And how did it go off with seemingly without a hitch? So if you've seen the movie, it's R2 and C-3PO at Jabba's place, and Luke Skywalker comes in and he offers R2 and C-3PO up as a gift to Jabba.
That's not what happened.
Oh my God, you're so fucking this up.
You're ruining it.
Have you fucking seen this? Have you seen this movie? How many times have you seen it? That's the fucking question. Oh no, my God.
No,
Jeremy's mad.
Here I was. As soon as I found out this wasn't his theory, I was like, okay, we're safe. Clearly we're not.
No. Let me finish. So, like, R2 and C-3PO are there. Or, well, you know, C-3PO is there, I guess, and R2. But
you get...
The movie... Okay, so they are sent there by Luke. They go there before he goes there.
Okay,
there's
okay,
a whole
yes.
scene where they're arriving at Jabba's
right,
palace.
Right, yeah. Yes, we know that. So, but Luke...
The only people that are there... Well, the only person that's there when the movie starts, or yeah, is just Lando. That's there. He was just there.
Okay. Let me finish. So,
okay.
Let me finish before y'all start saying stuff. So, Luke Skywalker basically offers them up to Jabba, like in exchange for Solo, and of course, Jabba doesn't accept. But you have to wonder what Luke would have done if Jabba did accept. He would get Han Solo, but his two favorite droids are still with Jabba.
This is so ass backwards.
Hold on.
You still don't have it right. Are you reading this or are you just making...
What are you talking about? Isn't that what happens in the movie?
No, dude.
No, he gave them as a gift without saying, I want anything in return.
Yeah,
just here's some droids.
He's not saying, here, you can have these droids. Give me Han Solo. He's saying, I would like to make a deal. Please accept these droids as a gift.
Right, but Jabba's never going to make a deal, though. And the droids were part of the gift.
Well, he knows that he's not going to make the deal. I think his plan is to just have his own people inside Jabba's palace, which is why Lando's already there. Then now R2 and 3PO are in there. And then the next person that you have arrive is you have Chewie in chains, but with Leia. Right, and I'll give you two extra points if you can tell me her bounty hunter name. Right, and he knows basically now what he's going to have is multiple people like working inside of Jabba's palace.
Okay. So let me keep going here. So mm-hmm. Jabba the Hutt. So, and of course, I believe that R2 has Luke Skywalker's lightsaber stowed away inside him this whole time. And then Lando Calrissian is at Jabba's place as a guard of some sorts in disguise. But we don't know what he's really doing there unless they conspired beforehand. And then, of course, you said Leia is there as well in hopes to rescue Han in disguise, but is caught. And then you said Chewbacca's in there. Yeah, so... When Luke shows up, like, nothing happens until they're on that ship above the Sarlacc pit where everything seems to perfectly go to plan. But before that, you just have to think, like, was it Luke's plan really to have all this shit go wrong and then at the last second save everybody?
No. Like, no. Luke wasn't, like, the whole plan was honestly for Lando to scope it out, to go in there, have the droids also, but then for Leia to go and defrost Han, right? If that would have been the case, she would have defrosted Han. They would have gone and got Chewie, and they would have just fucking left.
But they, but she did defrost Han, though.
No, but they, she got captured. Caught.
Okay.
So what he's saying is that Luke just didn't play all of his cards at once. He had a backup plan, right? Which was, so
Luke
first had, thing was get
Luke
Leia in there.
Multiple
and try her
plans
try.
Going on.
So the writer of the Star Wars novels, the writer of the Star Wars novels, Chuck Wendig,
of some of the Star Wars
yes,
novels.
Yes, some of the, he said before you get into the Skywalker 6 heist, it's not just a single serving plan, but rather a series of fail safe sub plans that culminate in the kind of extraction and result you'd get if you were all sitting around a role-playing game table trying to get your character to perform any complicated task, such as, you know, invading a country or robbing a bank. It's less a finely tuned machine of a plan and more like a Millennium Falcon plan, where it's a ship once designed for a purpose, but then repurposed with a spare part, with spare parts and scotch tape and lots of hope. So that's
kind of a no-brainer. But I mean, really, because what happened is, so they had all these backup plans, or Luke had all these backup plans. It didn't go as he planned. But what does Luke have? He's got the fucking Force. And the Force is basically luck, right? But, I mean, it's basically like the deeper version of what is perceived as luck.
But the question,
so
but
people
the,
would say, oh, he's just so lucky that it worked out like that. No, it's the Force.
Some would say there's no such thing as luck.
Well, that's what I mean. It's like, it's what
some I'm surprised you didn't know
luck.
That.
Give me a break. That's not what I mean. That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm saying, like, some people would say it's luck, but I'm saying, like, that's the Force, and that's one of the things that the Force seems like.
Well, the whole question is, when you look at it, obviously Luke didn't know any of this was going to happen. It just all of a sudden happened out on the ship under the atop of the Sarlacc.
But, like, you know, here's the deal. How many – okay, so in Empire, he had visions of the future, right? He saw Han and Leia suffering in a city in the clouds.
Okay.
So he could have easily had a Force vision, you know, of various scenarios playing out in Jabba's palace.
But
one important thing to remember is that, like, to look at Anakin Skywalker and his – supposed ability to race pods the way he did. He's the only human that can do it because he's got so much of the Force within him that he's able to have this premonition of things happening right before they happen, and his reaction time is inhuman because of that. And so that's one of the things that being strongly attuned to the Force gives you. It's this seemingly superhuman ability to react to things the way you should be reacting to them.
Okay, well, I get all that, but there was definitely there's a plan in place to rescue Han Solo. Like, there had to be, like, it just didn't happen like all these people try to do it the same way. Like, Lando has secret plan, Leia, Chewie, and
they were
Luke.
All working together.
You think
Luke
they were
was
all
basically
working
the
together?
General
there obviously
that.
were separate plans. Like, the Leia plan is obviously a separate plan. Luke shows up because all the other shit didn't work.
Okay, so well.
Think of him as the general sending out his pieces.
Yeah.
Hey, go do this, go do that. And then everything gets fucked up and he's like, shit, I better go in and fix this myself.
Like, so Luke coming in is like the second to last resort. The absolute last resort is R2 shooting the lightsaber out of his head for Luke. That's the last resort, because for Luke, the last resort is to pull the lightsaber out and start killing people.
Because, yeah, well, so when he first enters, you know, he's calm and collected as he always is. And then when he's out on the bridge, he's like, don't worry, I'm taking care of everything. So he definitely knows what's going on. And you don't know, how does R2 know what's going on? You know, it's just kind of to shoot that off at the same at the time.
R2 knows the fucking plans, too.
Yeah.
Like, it was all fucking planned. Like, it was all planned out. At that point, when they're going out there, that was probably the nearest access that R2 had, because if R2's like serving fucking drinks, you know, he can't be hanging out in whatever cell that they're holding Luke in. And you know, and I've read this, like, go ahead, John.
I was going to say one important thing to remember is that there is a book that takes place in between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi that explains a lot of this stuff.
So
and it's
there's
called
actually
Shadows
a part
of the Empire.
There's a chapter in this book that has them planning to get Han Solo?
I don't remember. It's been so long since I read it, but I know that it explains like Leia getting into the bounty hunter disguise, I guess you would say. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that happens. Dash Rendar is in there, and they talk about how so much of this comes into play. So it does really set up what happens in the beginning of Return of the Jedi.
I don't know. I get it, and I like Jeremy's note on saying that he had the premonition of the Cloud City, but we saw that in the film, but we did not see, like, or at least Luke even say that he had a premonition that this would happen.
Yeah, but you don't need to see all of that stuff, you know.
It's like, did we see Luke building his green lightsaber? Luke, it was there.
Yeah, but he's got a lightsaber in his hand. Luke got up and took a shit every day, but you never saw it in a movie.
So,
and here's my thing.
Jedi don't poop.
I've read this like this kind of like pseudo criticism of the plot, and here's my thing of why it's kind of dumb is that it's the movie's like 30 years old. It's like, who gives a shit at this point? Because, and this is a thing where people will talk about, oh, you know, in The Last Jedi they did that. They rammed a big ship with the smaller ship with the hyperdrive. Why couldn't they have just done that to the Death Star in the first movie? That's stupid. And it's like, so the criticism of The Last Jedi is because they didn't think to do something in a movie, you know, from the 70s. So it's like all of a sudden Star Wars is dumb. And it's like, it makes no sense. It's just like criticism. Like, just, it's like looking for plot holes in something that's 30 years old. It's like, ugh.
Yeah, it's buttholes overthinking it.
Yeah, basically. it's buttholes that don't make anything overthinking it.
Yep.
All right. I think all these people talking about it love the Star Wars movies. I think they were just like, wow, was it a plan that was already in place, or did they really just wing it when they all saw each other and like, okay, this is how it's going to go?
It's both. It's both. It's a combination of both. There is a plan, but overarching. But there is also a certain amount of just winging it off, you know, doing your best with what you got.
Okay, because, you know, they had a good point of, okay, Luke Skywalker goes in there. He wants to make a deal. He offers up the droids. And, like, what if by some thing happened and Jabba's like, yes, for another $1 million and the droids, you get Han Solo and all will be fine. Like, do you really think that Luke would have left R2 and C-3PO there? Or did Jabba always have to die there? Like, it's just kind of, you know, it's fun to think about, I guess. It's like, maybe that's how it was supposed to be. I don't know, and I'd love to talk to you guys about it.
Well, no, he knew that Jabba was not going to give up Luke.
Okay.
Jabba's insanely greedy, and he has a personal vendetta against Han. He was going to make an example out of
Luke,
him.
Luke knew 1,000,000% that Jabba was not going to just give him up.
Okay. So, all right. Curious.
I think it's a fine question. I think it's completely okay that you came to us. Mm-hmm. we were able to set you straight.
Set me straight. All right. Well, enough of Star Wars. We have our two big topics coming up now. Let's start with Atterbury's. You have a pretty awesome topic here. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so I was thinking what would be fun to talk about today would be old video games, be they standalone games or series that have not been around for a long time that we would like to see brought into the current generation of video games, to see a brand new version, whether it's a sequel or a remake, whatever, just a new version of some game that hasn't been around for too long.
All right. I like this. I like this thing because I picked three games.
Nice. Yeah, I picked a few also. I actually think there's like seven on my list, but I'll weed it down as we go.
Well.
So let's see. Jeremy, why don't you start?
Well, you can add in all seven of yours because I really only have a couple on mine. And mine are really both Star Wars. One, I want the main thing I want more than anything is Knights of the Old Republic. It's not a super old game, but there, you know, it's an RPG that I'm sure would probably not be turn-based like it was before. I'm sure it would be a little bit more in the, you know, third-person Mass Effect-y type of thing.
Yeah, like Dragon Age Inquisition, that where yeah, it's more like, you know, real-time.
Yeah, a little more based like that. But man, that's the thing I want the most. You know, I wouldn't mind another like Jedi Academy game, on, you know, something like that. But for the most part, man, you know, KOTOR is really the only thing I want.
That game is on my list as well.
Yeah. And honestly, that's really it for me. That's the only thing that's a little bit older that hasn't been remade where I'm like, man, that just would be the balls.
I agree completely. How about you, Brian? What have you got?
Well, first off, I cannot believe Jeremy did not say Twisted Metal.
They've made that. They made that for the last PlayStation.
It's PlayStation 3, though.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, no, it's
like PS3. 4 years ago.
No, it was longer than that.
I'm looking it up right now because I'm very...
I think it was Twisted Metal Black was the name of the title.
Really? Okay, so the last game was 2012 for the PS3. Yeah. So that's been a while.
It has been a while. All right, what else is on your list, Brian?
How long did I say?
You said 4 years, so it's 50% longer than that.
5 years. It's been 2018 for like 15 minutes.
Well, we don't know if it came out in January of 2012.
It came out in the fall. I tried to play it with Chris, and it fucking sucked.
Well, yeah, that was not a good entry. So is that on your list, Brian?
No, it's not. I just was curious. I was just...
That's because he knows he'd get his ass kicked.
Yeah.
Get it?
All right, so my three...
Because he's fucking terrible. He doesn't want more games he'd be terrible at.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. You just don't play the games I play yet. Soon. Three ones that I would love to see. One of them is Paperboy, the old school Paperboy. I want a brand
interesting choice.
Xbox One Paperboy, not side-scrolling either. I want, like, full-on worldview of Paperboy, avoiding all sorts of shit.
I love it.
It would be so much fun because it's like a simple game, and there wouldn't be like missions, but just like kind of like to deliver papers and like avoid shit. But yeah, I think that would be
You could do it with like the bullet time that was in like the Max Payne games, where yes. You like bring it down to like slow mo and then just fucking throw like 30 papers out and destroy everything.
That would be super cool.
You got paper cannon,
and then there would even be like a. Something where he's not on his bike, where he'd have to get off and like run up like stairs and like office buildings and throw shit at doors or through mail slots. That would be super cool. But yeah, I'd like to see that. Another one.
Not get molested.
Another one would be Pilot Wings. I love Pilot Wings for Super Nintendo so much. And I would just love a modern version of that now to like learn to skydive.
Don't they have Pilot Wings on Nintendo 3DS or something like that?
Oh, I have no idea.
I think there is a fairly modern version of that game.
Oh, I had no idea. I want it for Xbox One. And then, because I remember always, you know, getting through your training, but then going to like fight in wars, basically. What are you doing?
I'm looking up Pilot Wings.
All right. I thought John was going to show us his dick for a second because he kept on moving the camera down to his crotch. It's like, what is he doing?
Don't get too excited there, big guy.
Okay, I'll try not to. But Pilot Wings.
You can move the camera back up to your face, and where you go.
All right.
So
I guess, yeah, Pilot Wings, I love that. Love that game so much, and I would like to see like a modern version of that where you have to go through the training of skydiving and flying the plane and hang gliding. But then after you complete your training, you get to go like fight in the war and like blow things up. So I thought that would be fun, using your abilities, which I think would be cool for Xbox One.
So it looks like there was Pilot Wings. The most recent one was Pilot Wings Resort, which was on Nintendo 3DS, but it came out in 2011. So that's pretty old.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I'm just going off the Super Nintendo one. So
there was a Pilot Wings for Nintendo 64 also. That was pretty fun.
Yeah. Interesting. And the last one, my favorite game of all time, Eternal Darkness, which was for the GameCube. One of the scariest, most thrilling video games I've ever played. And I've just wanted them to make a sequel to this for so long. And it's just not going to happen because of the video game companies. But it was so great. And, you know, GameCube was great when it lasted. But to have something on this current gen would be so badass. Eternal nice. Darkness forever. Those three right
and
there.
And you said that was Nintendo GameCube. I've never played that game. Oh, I got to check that out.
Seriously, if you can get Eternal Darkness, that game is so good and so scary that...
Because I love horror games, so I'm always interested
in that kind of stuff. This is the ultimate one, and it is... It's so good. So, Eternal Darkness.
Nice. Well, those are good. I like those.
Thank you.
All right, so...
What about you?
On my list here. So, just to get these out of the way... the top two things on my list were the two games Jeremy mentioned. I have Knights of the Old Republic and I have Jedi Knight / Dark Forces. I would love to see a new entry in either of those. Because we had Dark Forces, which was just basically like Star Wars Doom. And then there was Dark Forces 2. There was Mysteries of the Sith, which was basically Dark Forces 3 where you played as Mara Jade. Then you had Dark Forces 4, Jedi Knight, where Kyle Katarn... It was a totally different kind of, you know, you can now go into third person mode of the lightsaber. That was cool. And then the last one was Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Academy. So much fun. Those games were always a fantastic time. So I would love to see some new entries in those.
How do we not have HD remakes of these fucking games?
I don't know. We remake like, all these this stuff that nobody wants.
Yeah. Like... I mean, great. I mean, don't get me wrong. An HD remake of Halo 2 was awesome. But, you know, like, give me a fucking HD remake of any, like, that, like I would even be fine if it played the same. Just give me an HD remake of any of those LucasArts Star Wars games, and I would play the shit out of them.
That would be so good. And so next up, I would also love to see a new entry in Crimson Skies. Just because that game was so excellent. I loved that game. There was so much, you know, and we don't have enough kind of arcadey flight simulators right now. If there is something, it's like which we've got in Battlefront, which is kind of a secondary thing, or it's like what we've got in the really hardcore flight simulators that aren't any fun at all to play for me. This Crimson Skies was a huge amount of fun. They just recently put it on Xbox Live Arcade, so you can go on there now and download it. But it's just really cool. And I would also love to see a new entry for Left 4 Dead.
Oh, there you go. Fuck, man. Shit. Everybody wants
Valve
Left 4 Dead.
Just needs to do something. Yep. We need Valve. Is one of my favorite developers. They've done Left 4 Dead and Half-Life, and those two game series are like humongous to me. And I would just love to see a new Left 4 Dead.
Look, because I absolutely 100 billion% have Left 4 Dead 2 downloaded on my Xbox, and I play it every now and then. But oh man, it needs to be updated so badly because it's like glitchy and just hard to connect with multiplayer. They just need to redo it. Just get it out.
Yeah, even if it was just like Jeremy said, an HD remake. I would love a third one where it's all new. But if I can't get that, give me an HD remake and I'll be happy.
Yeah,
I just need something to bridge that gap.
Unfortunately, Valve just sits around making all that Steam money, and so they're like,
they don't care.
We don't really have to make anything, so it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. And let's see, what else have we got here? I would love, you mentioned Twisted Metal, but I'm going to go the alternate route and say Vigilante 8, because that was the one I played more of.
I've never heard of Vigilante games, let alone Vigilante 8.
No, Vigilante 8 is not the eighth in the series. It is a group of eight people that were vigilantes.
Oh, have no idea.
So it was basically just like Twisted Metal, but just different settings. And it was for Nintendo 64, which is the system I had. I didn't really have PlayStation 2 or anything like that. So, I just miss vehicular combat is what I miss. Even if it's just Twisted Metal or Vigilante 8 or fuck, I don't care if it's Star Wars Demolition. Just give me some vehicular combat that we need that. There's just a total hole in that market nowadays.
You don't want a Castlevania reboot of like a badass Castlevania reboot?
They're always making Castlevania games, man. That's not something I need to ask for. I'm playing one on 3DS right now. That's great.
Well, all right then. I'm out of the loop.
They're always making those. And then up next, this one is huge. I would love to see a new entry in the Marvel Ultimate Alliance series.
So it's kind of like Street Fighter, but with the Marvel characters?
No, not at all. It's basically it's a brawler with some RPG elements.
Okay.
And you get to make a team of four from basically throughout the Marvel universe. So you might have Cyclops and Daredevil with Luke Cage and Nightcrawler, whoever you got. And you get to pick your team from all these different people. And it was just a huge amount of fun. And Jeremy and I had a great time playing those games.
We sure did.
And I would love to see a new entry in that with all of the development that they've done with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I feel like it could make it really excellent.
I think it's Crystal Dynamics, the company that makes the Tomb Raider games. And I think they're actually working on an Avengers game, so hopefully it's something along those lines, has a little bit of that aspect to it.
I would just love it. And what I liked so much about it was how much it wasn't one of those games that was like super in depth. You didn't have to spend a lot of time fucking with stuff. It was pretty much just get in and like have that old fashioned brawler fun, which is so rare nowadays.
Nice.
So that, and last thing I want to mention, just a real fast one, Lord of the Rings War in the North. I would love a sequel to that game.
But there's Lord of the Rings games all the time. One just came out.
Not like that one, man. Not one like that one. Out. Lord of the Rings War in the North was a action RPG that came out for Xbox 360, just a single entry, and I don't think it was hugely popular, but it was so much fun. It was just a really great multiplayer, couch co-op experience.
And it was pretty good.
Well, then. Those are a lot of good games. Hopefully somebody will listen to us.
Hopefully. oh, Brian wants that game. Let's get on it, guys. Let's make that game. Let's make a new Pilot Wings.
Let's make a new Paperboy. Let's do it. People will buy it. People will do it. All right. Our last topic should be a fun one. I hope it is. Hopefully we have some good laughs here. Basically, our last topic is to create a versus film similar to like Freddy versus Jason or like Alien versus Predator, those movies. What versus movie do you want to see and why? And like, who will be in them? Who will direct them? What's the story behind it?
I didn't go into who's going to direct mine.
Oh. I didn't do any of that shit.
Well, that's fine. But, I'm curious to see what you thought. Because since, the Freddy vs. Jason came out and the Alien vs. Predators, it's come up with a lot of, fan rumors of like, I want to see, Freddy vs. Jason vs. Ash, which they made into comic book series, or I want to see Pinhead vs. Mike Myers, or something like that. So, it's a fun topic for sure. And before this show, we were texting each other with like discarded suggestions, which are damn funny and actually,
but things that are actually, believe it or not, inappropriate for this show.
So, I guess since Jeremy went first for this one, let's have him go first again for his versus movie. Jeremy, what you got? What do you want to see in the versus universe?
I only have one, and it would have a sequel with it. But I first thought of this when people were talking about Disney acquiring the rights to the 20th Century Fox movies, because then that would mean that Disney would own Aliens and Predator, And so I was like, all right, I'm ready for my Aliens versus Predator versus Wolverine movie. So that's really what I want right there.
Okay, so Alien versus Predator versus Wolverine. What's the story behind it? Like, do Alien Predator on Earth and Wolverine...
Does it matter what the story is?
It does not matter.
Well, I'm curious.
Just let them fight and kill each other.
Yeah.
No, I'm curious if there's, like, a backstory or, like, if any of the other superheroes show up. Or mutants.
I probably wouldn't add too many in there. A sequel would definitely have Deadpool in it, that's for sure.
Aliens versus Predator versus Wolverine versus Deadpool.
Yeah.
Sign me up.
All right. Alien versus Predator.
Lots Wolverine. Of claws, lots of scratching, some guns, some katanas.
Some cigars.
Some cigars, lots of healing factoring.
So this would take place on
and
Earth?
Lots of gore. I like it.
It can.
I'm just curious.
Does it matter? No.
I mean, and quite frequently in the comic books, the X-Men have done a lot of stuff, you know, in outer space, off planet. It sounds weird because nobody really ever sees it in the movies, but, you know, it would be pretty easy to arrange.
All right.
Sign me up, man. I love
it.
Cool. All right. Atterbury, what you got, sir?
I've got a few.
Wow.
And I like these ideas.
All right, well, before you get to your few, do you want me to do my one?
Yes.
All right, I'll do my one. So my versus movie is called Angels versus Amigos. Charlie's Angels versus Three Amigos. So in this movie, the Charlie's Angels somehow get under this, like, this sort of evil spell from a maniacal bad guy that causes
them... So is this like Cameron Diaz, Drew Barrymore, Charlie's Angels?
Yes. The same women. So yeah, you have Cameron Diaz, Lucy Liu, and Drew Barrymore. And they're under this evil spell from a maniacal person that causes them to be deadly weapons against innocent civilians. Kind of maybe in the way kind of like a Kingsman sort of thing where it's like that signal that does something. So meanwhile, while that's happening, the Three Amigos are doing a reboot comeback movie on location in Atlanta, Georgia, which is where the evil Charlie's Angels show up and start killing everybody on the set and just stuff like that. The Three Amigos, being the Three Amigos, think it's part of the movie, but they end up getting hurt again. And then all this destructions happen, and then this, which they finally realize that the damage is already done. But the Charlie's Angels take over a small town in the Midwest after that, where all the Three Amigos' kids and grandkids live, which is when the Three Amigos strap up and battle to free the Charlie's Angels from the their evil spell. And John Landis would come back to direct it. That is my versus movie I want to see.
I would love to see that movie if it ever happened.
I just think that'd be super fun. And I would definitely have Martin Short and Chevy Chase and Steve Martin come back. But yes.
Well, you can't have anybody else, man.
Yeah, seriously. No, I would definitely want that movie.
Oh, I love it.
So Atterbury supposedly has several ideas, which I'm very excited to hear. What are they?
I have four ideas.
Four ideas. Oh, my goodness.
First up, I want to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles versus Gremlins. And I don't mean like modern, Michael Bay Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean like early 90s, full animatronic costume Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles versus, you know, old-fashioned Gremlins. And it has to have those throwback costumes and special effects and stuff like that. I don't want to see any modern CGI in this.
Oh, man. I'm trying to figure that out because Gremlins, if you get a bunch of them, they're kind of a hassle. But I feel it's like nothing.
Just like really, really
handle.
Mischievous, but and like let them get their hands on some ooze so we have big gremlins too.
Fantastic.
So big gremlins that are, you know, a hassle and it requires the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to handle their business. I feel like it would just be a really, if you had the spirit and the comedy that was in both of those movies originally, it could be a really fun combination.
All right.
Up next, I want to see Scott Pilgrim versus Dracula.
Wait.
Here's how this works. So Scott Pilgrim, we're going to go something like Ready Player One, where you've got Scott Pilgrim in VR with his friends, and they're playing like a VR version of Castlevania, and they have to work their way through the castle and ultimately fight Dracula.
So why Dracula? Because it's a Castlevania and like Scott Pilgrim not versus like the Universal Monsters type of thing?
Right, just I just want to see Scott Pilgrim and his bandmates have to work their way through the Castle Dracula in Castlevania and ultimately face off against him.
Do you want
this? But still, comedic.
Is Dracula playing himself in VR?
No, Dracula is just the boss in the video game.
Okay.
He's not actually in VR.
How big this world is.
Nope, it's just VR, and it's just the only ones playing it are going to be Scott Pilgrim and his bandmates.
All right,
that's
I'm
something
very
I would
curious
love to
on that. I'm just all right. I like Scott Pilgrim and I like Dracula, so I guess so. I guess you'd have the same people play them.
Yeah, absolutely,
Michael Cera and everybody. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Up next, this one's a little bit, of all the movies on my list, this one's kind of the only serious one that I think might actually happen one day and should happen, is a Han Solo versus Boba Fett movie. And I'm not talking, you know, a solo Boba Fett movie where Han Solo happens to be in it or vice versa. I'm talking an entire movie about the relationship between these two and them, you know, hunting and being hunted by each other. That's what I would love to see.
So, like Heat.
Yes, but Han Solo versus Boba Fett.
I'm in for that. I mean, shit, we might get that kind of in the new Solo movie.
I think that's unlikely. But I want the whole movie to be focused on the dynamic between these two. Okay. And really set up the, you know, how Han Solo's like Boba Fett. And there's such a obvious kind of backstory. I want to see that really fleshed out.
Because, like, do you think in the new Solo movie that the end scene will be Chewie and Solo like, oh, we've got to go to Mos Eisley? Something like that?
Who knows? I mean, maybe. You know, we'll see.
Okay.
I don't know. Lastly, I think this one would be really fun. And I would love to see Underworld versus What We Do in the Shadows.
Okay. Interestingly enough, those guys are making the werewolf movie to that.
Oh, are they?
Yes, they are. Because What We Do in the Shadows had werewolves in it. So they are actually doing a werewolf one like What We Do in the Shadows. So you are getting that.
I would just love to see the serious, dark, you know, tone of like Selena and all those vampires and that whole world. And then have it encountered with these vampires from What We Do in the Shadow and just see the interaction there. I think that could be a lot of fun.
Oh my God, make Underworld a mockumentary about people bitching at each other. That would be so good.
Or more like just have them making another mockumentary with the What We Do in the Shadows guys, but they suddenly encounter these actually like terrifying vampires. And lastly, I got to mention, so our friend Sean, he suggested that in spirit of St. Patty's Day, one really fun versus movie would be to see Leprechaun versus Chucky.
Ah, you know what? I've actually heard that that fan suggestion before, and I've got to say, Chucky always will win. Chucky should.
I think you're right.
Chucky should always win. I'd like to see that. I guess.
Yeah, I think it could be fun. I mean, I watched the most recent Chucky movie, and it was pretty good.
Oh, it's damn good. I enjoyed it. I really liked it. Cult of Chucky is what it's called.
Yeah, and it's on Netflix
for free. I like that Chucky versus Leprechaun because they've made a lot of Chucky movies and they've made a lot of Leprechaun movies. One of the Leprechaun movies was called Leprechaun Back to the Hood with the DA Da Hood.
They did do that.
They did do that. That is a real movie. I like these. I like this. And thanks to Sean.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. But yeah, I think that wraps up our show. It was a fun show too. We had a few laughs, a few angered moments, but we survived.
It's like just Jeremy's one really angry moment where you messed up Return of the Jedi.
I feel like I didn't mess Return of the Jedi up.
You did.
I did.
You did.
We love you, but you did.
Well, apologies. Sorry, not
you,
sorry.
You shame us.
I shame you. Shame. All right. Well, we are Mediocrity Podcast. Look us up on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Thanks again, as always, to Jeremy Magert and Jonathan Atterbury. It's been fun. And until next week, we love you.